BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it is quite the stack that is before us here on this Friday news roundup and comments. The news, obviously, where we begin, and then later in the program, God willing, the comments coming from you, when we will look to endeavor to open up the phone lines. And there is much we would like to discuss today, some of the things that we certainly would like to give you the opportunity to sound off on. In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor. Our thanks to Sandy for her work compiling stories all this week, because that's exactly what we do on Friday most of the time. Most of the time, the case is we go back and look at some of these headlines that we have been given over these past several days. Obviously, we'll soon begin with the news from the sad news out of Ukraine. Sad news regarding Russia, their great loss of troops. We'll have some comments from President Joe Biden, commenting earlier this week, and did he let the cat out of the bag about what he knows regarding the reset and the coming new world order? Yeah, we'll visit that, and then also some comments on something we visited yesterday on the Supreme Court hearings regarding next Supreme Court nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Where do you begin here? On the top of the stack, here is from the Daily Wire. An estimated 10 million people have fled their homes in Ukraine since its war with Russia began, with the majority of those fleeing westward into Europe's interior rather than fleeing east into Russia. Makes sense. Among the responsibilities of those who wage war everywhere in the world is the suffering inflicted on civilians who are forced to flee their homes. This from the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, tweeting this out on Sunday. The war in Ukraine is so devastating that 10 million have fled, either are displaced inside the country or as refugees abroad. Nearly a quarter of Ukraine's pre-war population of 44, I'll slow down here a minute. Nearly a quarter of Ukraine's pre-war population of 44 million have now left. They've left their homes as people continue to stream out of the country. While European countries have offered to shelter the millions of non-combatants fleeing the war-torn country, Russia has intensified its strikes on civilian targets. The East Ukraine city of Mariupol has been under particularly heavy pressure as Russia has sought its surrender. That from the Daily Wire. From other world news in the Mirror, headline saying Vladimir Putin has replaced 1,000 of his personal staff just over the last month over fears that they would poison him. Now, the ongoing assault on Ukraine has raised the prospect of an assassination attempt on Vladimir Putin. We have even heard elected officials here in the States calling for that to be the only way the war could end. Roughly 1,000 members of personal staff were replaced by Vladimir Putin last month over poisoning fears. Bodyguards, cooks, launderers, secretaries, all of those, report here says, sacked. And that from a Russian government source. The head of the UN human rights team in Ukraine saying today that monitors had received more information about mass graves in the besieged port city of Mariupol, that including one that appeared to hold 200 bodies. You know, if you are watching the television footage, you see the video, we question, or we should really question what it is that we're being shown. They're not really showing us this part. And it pains us to even have to bring this to you today. The report here says, we have got increasing information on mass graves that are there. Matilda Bodner telling journalists by video link from Ukraine, saying some of the evidence came from satellite images. The UN Rights Office, which has some 50 staff in the country, has so far counted 1,035 civilian deaths since Russia invaded on February the 24th. As we speak to you today and as we read from this report from Newsmax, this being Friday, March the 25th, already just over a month into Putin's attack on Ukraine. From American military news, up to 40,000 Russian troops have been wounded, captured, killed, or are missing in Ukraine since the invasion began. The Wall Street Journal reported that NATO believes no less than 7,000 and up to 15,000 Russian soldiers have been killed since the conflict began almost 1 month ago. At the beginning of the invasion, Russia had around 190,000 troops. And then in an article published last Sunday, the Russian tabloid cited a Russian Defense Ministry assessment of 9,861 Russian troops killed and another 16,153 injured in the fighting. On Wednesday, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said hundreds of thousands of NATO allied troops were on heightened alert across the entire alliance. 100,000 U.S. troops in Europe, 40,000 forces under direct NATO command, mostly in the eastern part of the alliance, all backed by major air and naval power, including five carrier strike groups in the high north and in the Mediterranean. Have you ever stopped to think for a few moments? I mean, obviously, everyone is, we know, this is Vladimir Putin's war. He's invoked this, clearly been leaning towards doing this for a long, long time. In fact, we may get to a report that says something of this has been planned for over 10 years to actually see this happen, and the timing was right. But have you ever stopped to think about these young men that are being sent over there? And I'm speaking of from Russia, these soldiers who, for country, for duty, for service, they want to serve their country, but they're being sent over, and so many of them will never return home. And to the military leaders, to Putin, it's just his war and what he wants. So many moms and dads never seeing their sons again, at least not on this side. Here from American military news, on Tuesday, the Ukrainian military shared what it said was an intercepted call from a Russian officer leading invading troops in the Ukrainian city of Mykolaiv, who said half of his troops had frostbite. And he added that they were struggling to evacuate their dead and provide enough tents for those still alive. You know, we have talked some about the temperatures there in recent weeks. There have been weeks in a row where daily low temperatures fell below freezing there in the city of Mykolaiv. This month, including several days in a row where temperatures dipped below 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Again, just some sad news there. American military news reporting. For these young men, these soldiers. On the wrong side, many would agree, on the wrong side of the fight, but nonetheless, these young men, these soldiers who are dealing with so much. Here is from Fox News, the U.S. to take in up to 100,000 Ukrainian refugees and sanction more Russian officials and defense companies. The U.S. will welcome up to 100,000 Ukrainians and others seeking to escape from Russia's invasion, and will impose new sanctions on Russian individuals and companies. This from the White House. According to senior administration officials, the Biden administration looking into multiple methods for those fleeing Ukraine to enter the U.S., including the refugee admissions program, as well as parole and immigrant and non-immigrant visas. The official saying that President Biden's cap of 125,000 refugees for fiscal year 2022, it remains in effect, but that those who enter via processes other than the refugee program will not count toward the total. More from American Military News. Russian forces have destroyed a functioning laboratory at the derelict Chernobyl nuclear power plant. This from the Ukrainian state agency responsible for the exclusion zone, saying Tuesday. Again, when we come to you on Fridays, we're often bringing you this news roundup and comment as we look back over what the headlines have been all this week. According to the agency, the lab contained highly active samples of radionuclides. We're getting scientific on you here. Unstable atoms of chemical elements that release radiation. These that are now in the hands of the enemy. Ukraine's nuclear regulatory agency on Monday said that the radiation monitors around the plant had stopped working. The Russian military had seized the Chernobyl nuclear power plant at the beginning of the war. Again, this is just saying that these Russian forces have destroyed a functioning laboratory at the derelict Chernobyl nuclear power plant. Here from Newsmax, Russian President Vladimir Putin saying Wednesday the world's largest natural gas producer would soon require unfriendly countries to pay for their fuel in Russia's currency, the ruble. The requirement raised new hurdles for the mostly European gas purchasers that buy Russian gas. Europe gets about 40% of its gas from Russia, paying largely the 200 million to 800 million euro. That would be $880 million. That per day, by the way, per day in euros and dollars. Putin gave the Russian central bank and government officials 1 week to come up with a way to shift payment to the Russian currency. So challenges arising there as Russia calling for gas payments in rubles. More from Newsmax, the United States and the European Union on Friday announcing a new partnership. That's today, this coming very early this morning. United States, European Union today announcing a new partnership to reduce the continent's reliance on Russian energy, a step top officials characterize as the start of a years-long initiative to further isolate Moscow after its Ukraine invasion. President Joe Biden asserting that Russian President Vladimir Putin uses energy to coerce and manipulate his neighbors. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll pick up right where we're leaving off with this story that's, again, just breaking very early today. And then let's hear from the president on what he is saying about this coming New World Order. Don't miss this. We will continue on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish, showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it floats to the surface or it sinks to the bottom where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the Great Flood of Noah's day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris, the flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network, Friday bringing the news roundup and comment, and God willing, we will get to opening the phone lines to hear from you later on in this this hour. The time does go so quick. Just before the break, we were sharing this story from earlier. This was breaking very early this morning. The United States and the European Union announcing a new partnership to reduce the continent's reliance on Russian energy and to begin this years-long initiative to further isolate Moscow due to its invasion of Ukraine. President Joe Biden asserting that Russian President Vladimir Putin uses energy to, quote, coerce and manipulate his neighbors and uses the profits from its sale to drive his war machine. Now, under this plan today, the U.S. and other nations will increase liquefied natural gas exports to Europe by 15 billion cubic meters this year. If you're like me, you need to study that out a little bit to just understand or remember maybe what you were taught back in school about what a cubic meter is. But again, under the plan, the U.S. and other nations will increase liquefied natural gas exports to Europe by 15 billion cubic meters this year. So what about this talk of New World Order? Here's Red State News saying that Joe Biden has just let the cat out of the bag, saying a New World Order is coming. Now, on Monday, and according to the White House, the president met with 16 CEOs of major companies across several industries that include energy, food. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Food, that's pretty important to all of us, right? Well, these 16 CEOs of major companies across several industries, including energy, food, and manufacturing, all of these met to provide a briefing on the latest developments on Putin's unprovoked, unjustified war against Ukraine. That's what I'm just quoting here. But while he was talking with these 16 CEOs, Joe Biden said something that has a lot of people talking. He said the quiet part out loud, noting that the pandemic has given them, quote, significant opportunities to change things, that this was a inflection point in the world that occurs every 3 to 4 generations. And then he mentioned the new world order that was to come. We'll go to the clip here, Justin.
As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So anyway.
Again, we're just sharing here the headlines as reported from Red State. And you heard, you know, his very words and how he phrased things. How millions of people dying led to the present, quote, liberal world order. And now there's a new world order coming again. All of this about a new world order, supposed to be like a conspiracy, but Joe Biden doesn't think it is. And friends, Christians know, we know in Scripture that in the last days, how all nations are going to come together to rid the world of Israel and the troublemakers there. We know what prophecy says. We understand it's going to require a reset, if you will, to really see some of these things happening. But does not mean that we should be blind to it or go along with it, does it? I would hope not. Interestingly enough here, following story, go back to those 16 CEOs. Remember here with part of the story that Biden was meeting with on Monday, how these CEOs were from several industries, energy, manufacturing, and food. And when we talk about food, you want to control people, control the food. You want to control things. Well, here's a story that, frankly, we just hate to read this. But we're going to share it from Breitbart News this week, Thursday, in fact. President Joe Biden acknowledging during a press conference in Brussels yesterday that food shortages will hit the world as a result of Russia's war in Ukraine. Are we going to immediately, we're going to blame things and use the war in Ukraine for the reason we have food shortages, empty shelves here? I wish I could show you this article where there are, imagine where you shop, friend. Whatever the grocery store, whatever the market is, and you're familiar with the aisles. You are familiar with all the things you and your family love and need to sustain life and to go about. You know where the bread is, and you know where the milk is, and you know where the cookies are, right? We know where. Imagine those very places, those very spots in your hometown grocery store, empty, void of anything. I am looking at photos here of empty shelves here in our country. And the President Biden saying because of the war in Ukraine, food shortage is going to be real. President Biden said this when asked about discussions with world leaders about food shortages, pointing out that Russia and Ukraine were considered the breadbasket of Europe, producing nearly a third of wheat exports around the world. Biden also previewing tough times ahead for food suppliers across the globe, saying the price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia, it's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including the European countries and our country as well. Biden said that he and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau promised European leaders that the United States and Canada will act to bolster their supplies of grain, saying we both talked about how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages. Biden called for all European leaders to reduce or eliminate trade restrictions on food exports. You see these photos, and it is troubling to say the least, that story there from Breitbart. We've talked a lot thus far today regarding what is going on in Ukraine and Russia. China getting some ink, having fully militarized the isles in contested waters this week. Back on Monday, at least three of several islands in the disputed South China Sea have been fully militarized by Communist China. This according to a top U.S. military commander. U.S. Indo-Pacific Commander Admiral John C. Aquilino, telling the Associated Press that all nations in the vicinity are threatened by China's aggressions, which include arming the islands in question with anti-ship and anti-aircraft missile systems, laser and jamming equipment, and fighter jets. Aquilino, who leads the largest U.S. combatant command with 380,000 military and civilian personnel covering 36 nations and territories, noted that the moves are in contrast to previous assurances by Chinese President Xi Jinping that his country would not turn the artificial islands on contested waters into military bases, and maintained that China is flexing its military muscle. And we've known for weeks, we've heard for weeks of the rumblings that China would watch and see how the world reacts to an invasion to Ukraine before they themselves would be considering possibly invasion of places. And so you see those things rumbling. We'll come back to some of these issues in just a little while. We're going to shift gears for just a moment to back here in the States. If you were with us on Crosstalk yesterday, or even if you were not, we encourage you to go back and let us share with you some of the happenings on the Supreme Court hearings this week. Jim shared several clips yesterday of the hearings of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, and these hearings that began, on Monday? And go to crosstalkamerica.org, crosstalkamerica.org, and look at yesterday's program. That would be Thursday, March the 24th. And Jim shared at length the clips and all that is being discussed regarding the possible replacement for retiring Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. Well, at this week's Supreme Court hearings, U.S. Senator Josh Hawley from the Show Me State of Missouri was questioning Judge Jackson about her statements in U.S. versus Hawkins. This where she sentenced a child porn offender to just 3 months instead of the recommended 8 to 10 years. Okay, so, you know, the law says it's, the law has a recommendation of 8 to 10 years for an offense of such, yet Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson only sentenced the offender to 3 months. During the hearing, Josh Hawley raised concerns about U.S. Supreme Court Ketanji Brown Jackson's leniency toward criminals convicted of child pornography. And in that, and if you were listening yesterday, if you were not, go back and listen for yesterday's program. But in there, she even wrote about the egregious crimes that had been done, yet here, Josh Hawley is saying is very lenient on the sentencing. Why be lenient and go against what is even recommended? While we're on the subject, LifeNews.com reporting Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Jackson brought up the so-called right to an abortion on Tuesday, this during her Senate confirmation hearing, further adding to concerns about how she would rule on unborn babies and their right to life should she be confirmed. Jackson mentioned abortion in response to questions about due process from U.S. Senator John Cornyn, who was questioning her at the time. He, a pro-life Republican from Texas. The U.S. Constitution never mentions the right to an abortion, but activist judges interpreted it to add the right to kill an unborn baby through Roe v. Wade in 1973. The ruling conflicts with language in the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments, which prohibit persons from being, quote, deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, end of quote. And then as well as laws that recognize unborn babies as persons prior to Roe. Instead of giving her opinion, Jackson explained what the court has done in the past, saying the justices have interpreted the due process clause of the 14th Amendment to include a substantive provision, the rights to due process. She continued, they have interpreted that to mean not just procedural rights relative to government action, but also the protection of certain personal rights related to intimacy and autonomy. They include things like the right to rear one's children, I believe the right to travel, the right to marriage, interracial marriage, the right to an abortion, and contraception. We are up against this break. We have another line or two to share regarding the Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson and the hearing that is being held this week. Looks like the voting is pretty much being lined up. Everyone knows where they are standing with this. We'll continue on the other side.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor that's here for a short time and then vanishes away. Scripture also says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Have you ever wondered what happens when you die? In the book, What Happens After Life, author Ron Rose provides a survey of the Bible's teachings about the afterlife. He tracks the destiny for those who know Christ as Savior, and the destiny for unbelievers. He addresses numerous topics, such as the immediate state after death, believers and the judgment seat of Christ, unbelievers and the great white throne judgment, the new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, and so much more. He even tackles the question of what happens to infants, young children, and those mentally disabled as it relates to eternity. What Happens After Life is available for a donation of $15 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America radio network. In for Jim Schneider. I am Dalton Windsor. Thank you so much to Sandy for compiling these stories from a very busy week of news around across the country and, of course, around the world. Sandy keeps all of these throughout the week and gathers them for us. We have both Dennis and Justin producing today, and Cheryl will be helping with the phones in just a little while. We will be inviting your phone calls here shortly, and I hope that many of you will want to call in on a story we have not even shared yet today. But would you believe? Yeah, of course. What? How can we not believe the things anymore that we're being told? But would you believe that someone in Wisconsin, in the upper Midwest, is calling for the ban of the Pledge of Allegiance in Wisconsin? Banning it. And we'll see if we can't hear from you on that comment. We'll get to that story here shortly. Before the break, we were just finishing up on some of the news on the Supreme Court hearings this week. As many have, senators have been interviewing Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She is Joe Biden's nominee to replace retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. And, well, how's that been going? Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying yesterday that he would not support Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination to the Supreme Court. Quote, I cannot and will not support Judge Jackson for a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court. McConnell argued that Jackson was not prepared to answer questions on her judicial record or philosophy, arguing her record was more sparse than previous nominees. He also criticized Jackson for not taking a position on the size of the Supreme Court. If you go back to yesterday's Crosstalk, again, go to crosstalkamerica.org, crosstalkamerica.org. Listen to Thursday, March 24th's program when Jim aired several clips of these senators talking with Judge Jackson. They asked her about court packing. And right now, right here, Mitch McConnell saying she would not take a position on the size of the court. When asked about calls from progressives to add additional justices to counteract the current conservative balance. It's a 6-3 balance right now. And so it's a no from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. And reportedly it will be a yes from Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, saying today that he intends to vote yes for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination to the Supreme Court, that effectively guaranteeing that she will be confirmed and become the first black woman to serve on the nation's highest court. Manchin saying that after meeting with her, considering her record, and closely monitoring her testimony and questioning before the Senate Judiciary Committee this week, I have determined, this is Joe Manchin, West Virginia, I have determined I intend to vote for her nomination to serve on the Supreme Court. Many, however, though, finding it troubling that she could not even define what a woman is. They simply asked her the question, was it Senator Blackburn? Marsha Blackburn, I believe, of Tennessee. And just simply ask the question, can you tell us what a woman is? Apologize for not having the clip, but Jim had it yesterday. Go back to crosstalkamerica.org and check out Crosstalk from Thursday, March 24. And the show we did there, it's all there for you. Some very troubling no responses from Judge Jackson. Well, we are going to be going to the phones here shortly. The number is 1-800-347-9829. We do have a different number if you're a daily listener to this program, Crosstalk. We are producing this program from a different studio right now due to some technical issues at headquarters, at VCY headquarters. So we're thankful to be with you, but we do ask that you call a different number, 1-800-347-9829. The studio line today, different than normal. If you have us on auto redial or something, that won't work today. Our apologies, but you can call 1-800-347-9829 as we'd like to have you on Crosstalk today. Would love to get your comment on this, because clearly it's come to this. some woke people. That's what they're being referred to. And the article from PJ Media saying that Heidi Wegletner is a member of the Dane County Board of Supervisors in Madison, Wisconsin. But her vision and the breadth of her spirit go far beyond that narrow realm, reaching the great and widening divide in American politics today. The Wisconsin State Journal reporting Tuesday that Wegletner is pushing to remove the Pledge of Allegiance from the county board's agenda, arguing it's an inappropriate opening to public meetings. She, again, I'll say this, she is arguing that the Pledge of Allegiance being said in her county of Madison, Wisconsin, or Dane County, Madison, which is the, of course, the capital city of Madison, Wisconsin, that's the county there. She is arguing that the Pledge of Allegiance is inappropriate. So an inappropriate way to open to public meetings. Dane County, is it no longer part of the United States? This article asks. Well, Wegletner is calling for the removal of a pre-meeting pledge as well as the word prayer from the board's rules. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. The telephone number if you would like to weigh in on where we are today and what stories like that are coming up. And we happen to have a few affiliates in the great state of Wisconsin. In fact, it's our home state, if you will, VCY headquarters. So we would love to hear from many listeners. Haven't mentioned this guy yet today on the program, Donald Trump. Did you hear what has happened going on with him this week? Donald Trump on Thursday suing his formal or maybe still rival from the 2016 U.S. presidential election, Hillary Clinton. Not only Hillary, but also suing several other Democrats, alleging that they tried to rig that election by tying his campaign to Russia. Oh, how often we were forced to hear about Russia collusion with Russia. Well, acting in concert, Newsmax reporting, acting in concert, the defendants maliciously conspired to weave a false narrative that their Republican opponent, Donald J. Trump, was colluding with a hostile foreign sovereignty. The former president alleged this in a 108-page lawsuit that was filed in a federal court in Florida. The suit alleges racketeering and a conspiracy to commit injurious falsehood, among other claims. The suit seeks compensatory and punitive damages, Trump saying that he was forced to incur expenses in an amount to be determined at trial, but known to be in excess of $24 million and continuing to accrue, that in the form of defense costs, legal fees, and related expenses. The defendants in Trump's lawsuit includes Christopher Steele, a former British intelligence officer. So maybe you heard a little bit of the news there over this past few days about a lawsuit involving Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and clear back to 2016. But we'll see where we go from there. The phones are packed up here. We're going to go and talk with Brad. He is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Brad, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air. Hello. Hello, Brad.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
I was calling regarding the situation on the oil and the food. And in that case, that the farmer should gather and grow all the natural seeds and plants that they can of natural things, not genetically modified organisms, so that they don't try to cut off our food here in America and around the world. We were the breadbasket to the world from World War II on, and we can do it again. And then as far as fertilizer from Russia, go to the metropolitan sewer districts and get their fertilizer to use on the farmer fields to avert the shortage of fertilizer from Russia, and we can grow food for the world again, but they have to have the seeds, and you don't have to get them from Monsanto and other companies that have genetically modified organism seeds. we can do it if farmers would gather their natural seeds and save them for the next year as well as grow what they can and put it all together, and then we can use it as a weapon. A barrel of oil for a bushel of wheat, whatever we got to do to cause Russia to come to their knees regarding food.
All right. Well, thank you for calling there from Milwaukee today. And most would agree that, you know, for America to be what we need to be for the world, we need to win at home first. And so many are against the America first thinking, but in order for us to, again, I'll say it again, for us to do what we have done throughout the generations, we have to win at home first so that we can also help win around the world. But that's just seemingly not what is so many are wanting to take place. We just have such division, and thus what we hear and read about on shows like this. Tony is also in Wisconsin. Thank you for calling, Tony. You are on Crosstalk today.
Oh, thank you for that young lady that took my call. I have a couple of comments in regards to this. My first one is, I just turned 61 a couple of weeks ago, and I remember hearing about this in 1973 when President Nixon was in his final years in office, that this day was coming. And all of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord always knew that it would, but we had no idea just exactly when that day would get here. And my second comment is, these state people are the same ones that killed Sonny Bono in 1998, and they tried to cover it up and say it was a skiing accident, because he was uncovering this stuff back when he got to be a congressman in the Congress for one term.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for the reminder, if you will. I know that has been brought up in many different circles, and to think that some of these things would be done, have been done, planned from the inside, perish the thought. But friends, so many just are convinced that so many of these things have not happened, by chance. Tony, thank you for calling from Wisconsin. David is in Plymouth. Hi, David. Thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air. Hello, David.
Yes.
Hi, David. You're on.
Yes. I listen to your program, sometimes as I go through the channels on the radio. But it seems like most of your guests, 90% of them, including your
You're cutting out on us.
And the host.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out on us. Go ahead.
Thanks. Are you there?
Yes.
And I think the idea of a conspiracy from our government is way off base.
Okay. Okay, David, we're up against a break, and we'll just have you hold on. We'll pick this back up and take some more when Crosstalk continues.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Did you guys know about BioLogos? This is an organization I warned about in my 2016 book, The Coming Religious Reich. Reich means empire or kingdom. How ironic that I warned about BioLogos, because that is an organization that was catering specifically to pastors to teach theistic evolution, which is the God-used evolution. That undermines the Bible. It undermines the authority of the Bible. It also brings us death and disease before the original sin and the fall. How could God proclaim everything good as he did, very good, when there's all this death that's been going on for millions and millions of years? You see, theistic evolution undermines the Bible. Who's promoting that? Francis Collins. Remember him with the NIH, who is reportedly harvesting baby scalps to put on the back of rodents? That's the guy that started BioLogos to infiltrate the churches of America. Be warned.
1-800-347-9829. We have a special number for you to call today to interact with us on this news roundup on Friday, 1-800-347-9829. And the caller, just before we were up against that break, the caller making the comment that to, if I understood him correctly, that any thought of a conspiracy by our government is should never be. We should not take those positions, if I understood him correctly. And we'll just have to leave that comment with you. And I guess just look around and see who is doing so many of these things that are taking place. I mean, we're now at a place, friends, we're about to share a story or two regarding swimming and the NCAA allowing a biological male to compete and win against biological females. We don't, as a country, we can no longer even differentiate between a man and a woman. But there's no conspiracy in these kind of things happening. There's no conspiracy into allowing a grown man to use a girl's bathroom. There's no conspiracy in these kind of things continuing to creep into our country. No conspiracy there. Nothing to see here. We trust everyone. Annie is in Ohio, and we'll just, can we go to line two? Did I go to the wrong line here, or should we go to, okay, hi, Annie. Thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, I want to say that the person who thinks the plagues should be banned to another country and not allowed to come back to the United States. That is unpatriotic, and God has no place for those kind of people.
So you are in support of the Pledge of Allegiance remaining in places of government and anywhere else that we want to have it said in our nation.
Yes, sir, because it's about God.
All right. Well, thank you, Annie. And according to that, we shared from PJ Media today, this Heidi Wegletner, a member of the Dane County Board of Supervisors in Madison, Wisconsin. She's saying that the Pledge of Allegiance before the county board meeting there, it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate. It's an inappropriate way to open public meetings, as well as the word prayer at being a part of the board's rules. Those things should not be allowed. Again, Dane County, Wisconsin, home to the capital city of Madison, and this person pushing that. So that call, obviously, in response there. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. We have a clip we want to get to here briefly, and we're already inside of this final segment here, but we mentioned the swimming situation. After days of silence from most female athletes at the NCAA Women's Swimming Championships, a young woman whose final spot was stolen from her by a biologically male swimmer is now speaking out. And we quote here, her name is Rika Gheorghe. She is from Hungary. She says, I am a 2016 Rio Olympian, represented Virginia Tech for the past 5 years, a two-time ACC champion, a two-time All-American, and three-time honorable mention All-American. She says, with all due respect, I would like to address something that is a problem in our sport right now, and it's hurting athletes, especially swimmers. Everyone has heard and knows about transgender swimmer Leah Thomas and her case, including all the issues and concerns that her situation brought into our sport. Gheorghe writes that she respects and stands with Thomas. However, she is doing what she is passionate about and deserves that right. But I would like to critique the NCAA rules that allows her to compete against us who are biologically women. I am writing this letter right now in hopes that the NCAA will open their eyes and change these rules in the future. It doesn't promote our sport in a good way, and I think it is disrespectful against the biologically female swimmers who are competing in the NCAA. Again, someone finally speaking out here, a female athlete, Rika Gheorghe, saying, while I totally respect and stand with Leah Thomas, a biological man who is swimming and competing as a woman, she says, I have to critique the NCAA. She's questioning the NCAA and they're allowing this to happen. And friends, since this Gheorghe has spoken out, her account, we understand, has been suspended from Twitter and other places. And that is the world we live in today. Now, we're running out of time. This is what's coming now out of Florida. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a proclamation this earlier this week declaring that a Sarasota native and Olympic silver medalist Emma Wyant was the best women swimmer in the 500-yard freestyle in last week's NCAA championship. Let's listen to his comments.
Last year, we signed a bill to ensure fairness in women's athletics. We thought it was very important that young girls and women athletes in the state of Florida had the ability to work hard, to realize their dreams, and to compete fairly, whether it's in swimming, whether it's in track and field, you name it. And that's something that was really meaningful to a lot of people in Florida, particularly people like me who are parents of young girls. So that's something that was really important, and we're glad we did that. If you look at what the NCAA has done by allowing basically men to compete in women's athletics, in this case the swimming, you had the number one woman who finished was from Sarasota, Emin Wyant. She won the silver medal. She's been an absolute superstar her whole career. She trains. I mean, to compete at that level is very, very difficult, and you don't just roll out of bed and do it. That takes grit. That takes determination, and she's been an absolute superstar, and she had the fastest time of any woman in college athletics. Now, the NCAA is basically taking efforts to destroy women's athletics. They're trying to undermine the integrity of the competition, and they're crowning somebody else the woman's champion. And we think that's wrong. And so in Florida, I'm going to be later today, because this is a Floridian who I think deserves to be recognized. You know, we're going to be doing a proclamation saying that Emma is the best female swimmer.
Well, we could go on and on with this one, but time will not allow us. But friends, so much going on. We thank all of you for participating and listening today to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.